Clubhouse.
Girl, I know this might seem strange, but let me know if I'm out of
order. Hey everybody, this is Aisha.
And this is Ashley.
And we are super excited because we just finished interviewing Leland B. Martin. Do you hear our voices, right? How excited we are? He is the character Ari on BET's Boomerang. And he was so gracious and kind and gave
super
us
fun.
And super fun, exactly. Yeah. And gave us a great interview on his life and his character, acting in general.
And other interests and work.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we are excited to present that for you right now. Hopefully you enjoy. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Fantastic.
I can't complain about a thing. Well, no, I take that back. There's a lot to complain about right now because I'm stuck in the house.
Yeah.
But I mean, in the house, I'm making the most of it, I guess.
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us. My name's Aisha, by the way.
Hey, how are you, Aisha?
And I'm Ashley.
Hey, Ashley.
Nice to have you. Nice to finally get to speak to you and hear your voice.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I mean, I always appreciate the opportunity, and it's a pleasure to speak with the both of you for sure.
Oh, thanks.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. It's this quarantine time is pressing on all of us. How you been holding up?
You know, I'm doing my best. You know, binge watching all types of shows, you know, Black as Fuck.
Yeah.
Wait, on my back. Can I? Black AF.
You can say, yeah. Yes. We actually are podcasting on the
exact
show.
Yeah.
We just finished, both of us. We love it. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. I you know, Vikings is another one that I'm kind of hooked on right now on Amazon Prime. That's it's a good series.
Good.
And I just got caught up on that one.
That's a cool one.
And going out to the park and trying to work out as best I can and try to stay fit and get some good old sun on me, you know, because, yeah, it's in the house and outside and in the house pretty much. And that's been what it is.
Exactly. Yep. We second that. We know how you feel. We're all in this together for sure.
Very true.
Yeah. Can't wait till they open up outside. You know what's funny? Like, I just posted on my Instagram yesterday. I was like, look, you know, I posted a prayer. I said, God, listen, you know what? The parties and the bars and the restaurants. I mean, look, if I had to choose, you can keep all of that. Just let me get back on a set. I just want to get back on my grind. And if somehow God could see fit to open up the gyms, that would be amazing too. You know,
right.
I can't look at another push-up. I swear,
you're talking to not only, you know, people who are interested in television and film, but also two fitness instructors.
Both of us are, actually.
So we feel you on that gym stuff.
We've been teaching virtual classes.
I cannot wait for gyms to open back up. I feel like, how many push-ups can you do in a day? You know, you're not going to grow after a while. Like, it's too, your body's too used to it now. It's too easy. It's like walking.
Just get those endorphins going.
There
that's
you go.
All
that's all you need.
All you need.
Yeah. We'll make do with it.
Let's jump off. I want to ask you, so in our little research that we've been doing, we read that you started your career for Merrill Lynch. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, actually, I didn't think about acting until I was 24 years old.
Oh, wow.
You know, never was even a thing on my radar growing up in high school. I know, you know, a lot of kids, a lot of, you know, actors that are actors to this day. Started off young, went to performing arts high schools and Juilliard and then, you know, acting schools in general, not just Juilliard, but wherever. And started off into the world of acting. For me, it wasn't even a consideration. I played sports in high school. I wasn't thinking about theater or the arts or anything like that. You know, I got a business degree and I did what I thought you were supposed to do in life, which was get your degree and then get a job in corporate America based on whatever that degree was.
You
know, do your years until you're 65, retire, and then go off into the sunset. And that's what I kind of started to do. I was working in finance and at an entry level in Merrill Lynch, and just going to that cubicle every day was not for me. You know, listen, God bless those who can do that. But for me, oh my goodness, it was torture. It was hell. I mean, reporting to somebody that I thought I was smarter than, you know, and crunching numbers. It wasn't my thing. In that particular year, acting just jumped out at me. it was crazy how it happened too. I mean, literally was at a deli, and this was, I was going through a little bit of a depression, to be honest with you, because I just wasn't satisfied with the way life was going. I mean, you know, I was like, this was the treasure at the end of the rainbow that I fought so hard to get through. I mean, I went through 4 years of college and now I get to the workforce and this is it. This is what my life is going to be. I feel like I'm going to wake up at 65 and like, what happened to my life? Where did it go? So I remember looking for another outlet, a hobby, anything to kind of just take my mind off of where life was at that particular point. And I remember seeing a sign in the window of a storefront that was right next to the deli. I was having lunch and it was just like, you know, how you have those moments of the, type of moments where like the heavens open up and there's a halo over this sign and the light is shining extra bright. And I swear that's what it was for me. Nice. It said casting in the window. And I went in there and the lady was like, look, I'll give you lessons two nights a week. And I fell in love at that point. I fell in love.
Wow.
So cool.
Amazing.
Wow. So you picked up from New Jersey and moved to LA. That's a bold choice. You know, I understand a big move like that. What was that like for you?
You know, it's crazy because when I fell in love with the passion of acting, it was like, I'm the type of person where I'm 0 to 100 and I mean real quick. You know, there's no 50% with me. As soon as I'm sold, I'm sold.
Yep.
And if I'm not there at all, trust me, you'll know I'm not there at all. And when it came to acting, I just fell into it 100%. I mean, Bank of America actually bought Merrill Lynch. So
yes.
I was able to transfer to actually New York first.
Oh.
And I started working overnights in New York. I was still living in South Jersey, though. So I would travel 2 hours up to New York and then 2 hours back every day, 4 hours a day to work overnight just to be able to audition during the day and go to classes and things like that in New York. So I had that first New York experience that really got my hunger going. And then I stacked up enough money. Mm-hmm. And literally, once my lease was up at the condo I was standing in New Jersey, I packed up everything in my car. I packed up everything I could take and just gave away the rest. And, drove my car across the country to Los Angeles in 2013.
Yeah.
Wow.
I can totally relate to that. I moved from Connecticut to Texas in the same way. So that's totally relatable. How did you feel the first time you booked a big role?
The first time I booked anything that I felt was considerable, I was like, ha, what I felt in the beginning is true. It was more of a thing where life started to manifest from the vision that I saw in the beginning. Because, you know, when you first get a vision, when you first get a passion, when you first have a dream, it's like God lays that on your spirit that you see the end from the beginning. You don't see it as precisely as you see it when you walk down that path and you get closer to it in actual life. But you see a blurry vision. You understand where you're going to be, even though you don't know precisely where you're going to be.
Right.
And I knew that this thing was in me and that this was a part of my calling and this was a part of the journey that God had for me. And once I started along that path, I don't know. I knew, you know what I mean? And then as these things started to happen for me, the manifestation started to come into my life. It was just more confirmation for me. So as I started booking more and more roles, it was like, yes.
Yeah.
God is in this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Okay.
Wow.
I'm with that. Yes. You know what I mean? So every single role for me was just another confirmation, you know, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is confirmed. And I feel like these were just confirming words, just more and more confirmation through my path as the dots started to connect and more things started to happen. I was just like, okay, this is for real. I can have faith in this.
Yeah. After we were really looking through all of your work, we noticed The Rookie that premiered in 2016. So you said you picked up in 2013 and here you are 2016 already in this notable role. I don't know.
That was actually what I was thinking of when you asked that last question.
Yeah.
That might be the one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That was what I was thinking of. Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting though, because, you know, you see certain things in your life, like kind of connecting dots, because the thing that really got me hooked on acting and connected to it was my first independent feature that I did in Alaska with a director named Chinonye Chukwu, who just had Clemency come out in theaters and all the rest. And, you know, it's just interesting because that for me was my first notable one, in my opinion, because of the caliber of director that I got to work with. Even though in the beginning she wasn't where she is today, I saw the talent of the individuals that I was working with in the beginning. And I was just like, oh, okay, this is big for me. So, you know, those things started to manifest. And then when The Rookie came about, that was a blessing, man. That was such a whirlwind of a blessing because of the way that it happened. It was so interesting because Lifetime produced that particular project. Right. And it was the first of its kind when it came to web series and things of that nature. Like this was when things were first launching out and Lifetime was taking that risk. And it was interesting because they did like 8 different series, you know, all different people of all different ethnicities and all different stories and all the rest. And I remember seeing the initial rollout on the first day. And they had everybody else's story except mine. And I was like, what? Did they cut mine? What's happening? And then I remember my manager getting to me, Holly Shelton, and she was like, no. Actually, they got to us and they were like, we're doing an official rollout for you guys. Cosmopolitan magazine wants to do a cross promotion with yours and all that other type of stuff. Yours was the favorite. And I was just like, man, this is amazing. And those are the confirming moments. And yeah, from 2013 when I packed up everything to 2016, it was 3 short years, but it felt like 3 long years.
I bet that went by fast. Long and fast too.
For me it was a
long 3 years.
Yeah. Long and arduous.
Yeah, it's funny because life now is going by a lot faster than I would like it to.
Because
I'm in a nice little sweet spot.
Right.
Like, you know?
Right.
But before that, oh man, it was such a grind. Such a grind to get established. I came here with no money. You know,
I feel you.
Right. join the group.
Right.
So those roles, I'm assuming from what you've already said, that must have prepared you for this fan favorite Ari Thomas role that we have now. Boomerang. Mm-hmm. I mean, how did those roles prepare you for this show?
I think all of your life experiences kind of groom you for where you are at the present time. I just feel like, you know, I've been prepared in just even my outside life and the lessons that I've learned and things of that nature. It's funny, too, because, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine last night about the role in itself and how me in my personal life, it's interesting how Ari is going through some similar things to me. Now, I and Ari are completely different in a lot of different ways, but it's just like when I come to a place where I'm questioning a relationship in my life, it seems like Ari's going through that same thing at that particular time. And, you know, it's just interesting how like all things kind of work together for you to be able to do your job at that particular time. And it's just interesting. Like I feel like it's almost like a universal and cosmic connection that you have to your work in a way. And I'm able to embody the character of Ari because of some of the things that go on in my personal life. You know what I mean? Like not wanting to commit, but wanting to commit at the same time. You know what I mean?
Right.
Dealing with your own toxic masculinity. You know, Ari had to deal with that in ways that it's like we share a common bond, but it's in different ways in the way that we express ourselves in our lives. So it's very easy to come to that common ground and to play that character. And, you know, I know you asked more so as far as like the attention was concerned. And I talked a little bit more about the character. But as far as the attention is concerned, man, I mean, I just take it in stride. I try to be as humble as possible about it because I didn't get into this game for the celebrity, if I'm honest with you. You know, that's cool. Yeah. Yeah. I enjoy that, you know, but like I said, I was in a little bit of a rut. Mm-hmm. And this was a hobby to get me out of that rut. Like I was never the type to really seek attention in my life. You know, I kind of was cool just playing the background. I've always been more of an introvert, just a quieter person in general. I'm more of an observer. I realized as a young person, I was more of a mimic than anything. I can mimic people around me, you know, more so than trying to get out in the forefront and just be that guy. My mindset in general is just kind of low key. So I love the craft and the fact that people appreciate the work that I'm doing means everything to me. I love the fact that they appreciate the work. You know, it's less about the actual attention and it's just more about the fact that people are digging the work because ultimately that's what I want to leave behind, a legacy of good work.
Yeah, you'll be cracking me up when it just says like your face. I mean, obviously you're acting, your facial expressions during the show, and how you just be laughing
and the gold teeth. I mean,
and the couch. I'm like, I'm just dying.
So good. I kind of want to get into some of the nuances of Ari real quick, like playing a bisexual character. Even now, it's 2020.
Right.
I wonder if that's still a big decision for an actor. And like, did you know that Ari would be sexually fluid from the beginning? And like, did it give you pause before you took the role?
Yeah. All of that.
Yeah.
All of that. It's funny because that's some of what I was speaking to, you know, a little earlier when it comes to toxic masculinity and all the rest.
Yeah.
To play Ari, I mean, I'll be 100% honest. You know, I don't really speak on my sexuality a lot because I just want people to see the character and the work. But, you know, I am 100% heterosexual.
Mm.
You know, I've never had an actual homosexual experience in my life, well, outside of, you know, acting and Ari.
Right, right.
You know, but yeah. I've never had that. So there was a lot for me to overcome. Mm. In order to play this role in the aspect of toxic masculinity within myself, because Ari will go through a certain thing when it comes to his masculinity and how he sees things. And I'll have to go through that same thing in a different way in order to actually do that. In order
right.
To actually
okay.
The character, mm-hmm. You know, so we'll literally be going through the same thing for different reasons, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting. But I love my craft. You know what I mean? I love what I do. And I'm so sold out to what I do. Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that I get to be a part of these types of conversations because I'm a very big ally of the LGBTQ community. I feel like everybody should have equal rights across the board and should be accepted into society as everybody else is. You know, it shouldn't.
Absolutely.
As
right.
long as everybody
right.
has respect, you respect my sexuality, I respect your sexuality. Mm-hmm. I don't see why we can't be friends and why yes. we can't coexist in this world.
Right.
You know, so I love the fact that Ari is making bisexuals normal. It's a friend group of a very inclusive friend group, a very progressive friend group.
Yes.
So I believe I believe in what I'm doing. I believe in the character. And you know, I get so many DMs and messages from people telling me how Ari's giving them confidence to be who they
Aww.
Are.
That's beautiful.
And they're looking up to Ari and a lot of different things. So I believe in what I'm doing and I love the character. I love who Ari is as a person and the journey that he's going on. And it's an honor to play him, mm-hmm. you know, but I have had to deal with the thought of how will people see me after this? And mm-hmm. you know, it was a consideration, you know, going back to the original question in the audition process. It's funny because when I first got the audition, there was in the description that Ari is sexually fluid.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm honest with you, I didn't think I was going to get the role. I was like, my resume is not up to par right now with what they're looking for in series regulars. I was like, look, I'm going to go in here and I'm going to impress somebody real quick and maybe get a guest star on this, you know, but I wasn't ever thinking that they would seriously consider me for a series regular role. Wow. You know, I felt like I had to make more bones in the game before I could jump up to that level. But lo and behold,
right?
You know, you just okay. never know. And, you know, I went in there and I did my work and then they called me back and I was like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, that's what you want. You want them to love you enough to give you a call back into the room. And then they called me back again for a producer session. And now I'm meeting all these people and I'm like, oh, okay, this is real. You know,
right,
for me, then it became real and I had to seriously consider the cost of everything that was going on. And now in our second season, I'm so happy I made that decision. Wow. I'm so happy I made the decision. That gets
we are too.
So are we.
Yeah.
Yes.
We
yeah.
are too. Fans are definitely.
Yeah. Thank you.
Awesome You're job welcome. With that role. So let's talk about Boomerang, the 1992 classic, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the show is based on that film. Like we can see where, you know, we want to be part of a continuation of that story. It's sort of a, you know, furthering that history, Eddie and Hallie, Robin. Do you feel like those were big shoes to fill? Like, how do you feel about the continuation of that film? In the
yeah,
show.
Huge shoes to fill. Huge shoes to fill. I mean, you're talking about legends and icons mm-hmm, now to this day.
Right?
But it's interesting, though, because a lot of people judge things based on future thought. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
these are people that became icons throughout their career. So we look back at, of course, mm-hmm. Eddie at that particular point was a highlight, you know, and these were young budding stars, of course. But, you know, when you see the body of work that came later, I mean, then that's when they became the icons and the
yeah.
legends and all the rest. In the beginning, they were making their bones just like we are, you know, and we had to remember that. We got to remember that, you know, it's not us versus them. It's mm-hmm. us versus the work. You know, we're playing one-on-one with this script right here, and we want to make this thing pop as best we can and service those people that are expecting greatness out of this Boomerang franchise. So, you know, it wasn't a matter of nerves or anything like that. It was, we want to pay homage and give respect and, you know, just be included in that Boomerang franchise and that Boomerang family and hold our own in that light. You know, it's funny because I watched this documentary, The Last Dance, with Michael Jordan, and it goes, you know, through that last year of the Bulls dynasty.
Oh, yes.
And like, you know, MJ is the greatest. And he's amazing. He's absolutely the greatest. But it's just like in the 90s, they had such a mystique about the celebrities and the stars that it's to this day is a little different. Like nowadays, you don't need to be mystical. Nowadays, you need to be hands in and all about the fans and people know you a whole lot better versus back then. It was like these celebrities were like mythical gods almost, and you didn't know what they were like and you know, that type of thing. So it's a different atmosphere as well, you know. So I also know that it's a different atmosphere. So I don't try to compare. I just, know, go about and do my job and, you know, hopefully the people love it, which they have.
I mean, right.
We're getting great responses.
We're both also big Lena Waithe fans.
Oh,
which
huge Lena Waithe fans.
Oh,
my goodness.
Incredible.
She's fantastic.
Incredible, yes.
Man, goodness gracious.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Can you tell us how your role of Ari has changed between seasons 1 and 2?
You know what? It's interesting because I feel like in season 2, you got to see a lot more of who Ari actually
absolutely,
is.
Absolutely, yeah. I love that.
In season 1, I felt like Ari was a lot more of a supporting character to the Simone and Bryson story in a way to where you didn't really know about his life as much. Mm. You knew who he was. And he was more like, he was too good to be true. I put it to you like that. You know, he was the poster child of bisexual men, this masculine, good-looking dude that said all the right things when people were confronting him about his sexuality and who he was. It was like, yeah, Ari, you know. And it was interesting, though, because in episode 9, a lot of people kind of were like, oh, okay, I see a little bit of perspectives that Ari has that I don't necessarily agree with. Mm. You know, when he was talking about Bill Cosby and Harvey Weinstein and all the rest.
Yeah.
Like, I still want to watch Bill Cosby, even though he did all of that.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like, oh, okay. Right. A little bit different of a perspective from Ari. Okay. And in season 2, you got to see that all the way fleshed out a little more, you know, because we got to see more chinks in his armor. He wasn't the poster child anymore. We got to see, oh, he struggles a little bit. Mm-hmm. Okay, he's insecure about some things. And I love the fact that, you know, the change was he became more real. He became more of a real person.
More authentic.
He wasn't he was way more authentic in season 2, in my opinion.
Well, I'm wondering about season 3, you know, what are we going to,
like,
can you tell us anything about the renewal? Like, right.
Yeah,
I know,
you know,
it's very soon, but.
I'm sitting back like you guys. I'm waiting for the renewal.
Okay.
You know, man, listen, this whole pandemic right here, I messed up everything.
That's
well,
true.
Right. That's true.
You know, we should know by
the
now.
The great pause.
But think
what we're all
right. The great pause. Mm-hmm. I think about that. I mean, in Hollywood and everywhere, I mean, but especially in television and film, I mean, what's that going to mean for so many things.
It's interesting. Actually, right before everything shut down, I shot a 4 commercial campaign with Alexa in OnStar. Mm-hmm. And, I can't say that too loud because I see my little machine going off.
You gotta always be careful.
It also happens when I'm watching your show all the time.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, we say that all the time. Yeah, it's like the name that won't be spoken.
You gotta
right.
spell it out.
I don't want it to go off.
Exactly.
But I did a commercial for them right before this whole thing shut down, and it's interesting because it was a car commercial. So I'm like, car dealerships ain't open right now. They're not even running this thing. And I'm wondering how our industry is going to come back, you know, with you know, just running things that were already shot. There's no new stuff that has been shot. So I'm guessing they have to run old stuff. And then the people that were working, I'm assuming they go back to their old jobs and, you know, just a scheduling thing, because I know how much it takes for even people to put together movies. You know, I know how much moving and manipulation has to go through things. Like, for example, if I'm shooting a movie in April and I have, I don't know, Denzel attached to it, that is from April to June. And you know, he's there from April to June. Well, I need a cast that's not booked up in April to June to surround him, right? But, you know, people are booked out for years to come, you know, with certain people. So it's like, well, what do they do at that particular time?
Mm-hmm.
So it's weird. And then with this, it's like, do you all get tested before you go to a set, you know, for COVID-19? Do you all stay in the same place and no new people and quarantines? How does that whole thing work? Like, it's going to be a whole new thing to
it's
figure
a whole new
out.
Ball game, yeah.
It's a complete paradigm shift, definitely.
Crazy.
You know, I'm thinking wow, you know, as we're watching the show in quarantine, looking forward to the next season, but realizing that this is the great equalizer. We're all, you know, waiting on the next moment to return to some sense of normalcy.
Absolutely. I'm just hoping that the stuff that I did before this whole thing shuts down runs, man. I would love that check.
Right. Yes, that would be great. Exactly. Is there any, I mean, you, we love it for you.
Right. So you mentioned the commercial. Is there anything else that you've got lined up that you want to let us know about?
Right.
Well, we were
possibly that could come out sometime.
I know. No, we were in the middle of a promo for Boomerang, and literally I shot that and was ready to move on to the next thing and see what was on the table. Auditions were coming in and all that good stuff, but everything shut down. I literally had a producer session for a role, you know, it was canceled right last minute. I'm not going to say what it is because who knows whether it's still going to production and all that other type of stuff. So I'll just leave that be. But I mean, who knows? I'm being creative, though. That is a fact. I'm writing for sure. I'm in my bag just trying to be ready for when everything does open up, make sure I'm sharp. But as of right now, it's a limbo.
We know you do a lot of work with the Penny Lane Foundation. Tell us about that organization and how you came to be involved.
Sure. Actually, Penny Lane Foundation was my job. It was my 9-to-5, so to speak, while I was in LA pursuing my dreams. I wanted a job where I could work overnight. But at the same time, you know, I had been working with youth since I was young. I wanted to do something where I knew I was good. And you know, I'm just good when it comes to mentoring young men. And, you know, a lot of these young men, they came out of the juvenile detention systems, foster care and all the rest. Like Penny Lane, you have to earn your way into Penny Lane through bad behavior, so to speak. And these were kids that came in with all types of issues. You know, it was a pleasure to be able to mentor them. You have some cases where it's like that wisdom hopefully will seep in a little later on in life because you don't see it taking root right now. And you have other cases where you see a life transform right in front of you. And it's one of the most fulfilling things when you see that actually take place. You know, that's what I did for about 4 years or so out here in California. And I love those kids, man, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's wonderful to hear. Thank you for sharing that. You mentioned something about writing. Tell us about that. What are you writing?
It's interesting because I started off my career actually in more of a production mode than actual acting mode. If I'm honest, I didn't have a traditional background, like I said, of going to school for it and then getting an agent and all the rest. I came straight from Merrill Lynch. So I was like, I was going to these acting classes with soccer moms and you know, people who were looking for a hobby, basically, you know, outside of their 9-to-5. So, you know, it wasn't too much ground being made in the very beginning. And, you know, my first thing that got me hooked was watching somebody work their own independent feature. I was off top inspired to work on independence. And from the jump, I started working with different people just to get my real footage. Because, you know, in the beginning, as an actor, you just want to get that footage so that you can get an agent and then you can move on to these bigger rooms and actually get paid for your work. So I started off producing short films and things of that nature. The first short film I produced, you know, we had it on YouTube for a little while. We took it down, thank God. it's called Inside Pocket.
Okay.
You know, I produced that in 2011. That's first thing I ever produced. And then I wrote a web series actually right before Boomerang, right before I got cast for Boomerang. You know, I hosted it on shout out to Tyrone Magnus, who had a YouTube page that had 2 million subscribers at that particular point.
Wow.
And me and a friend of mine named Derek Hammond actually were like, listen, if you host our web series on your page, we'll put you in it. And Derek, you know, he had the idea and he came to me to write out the scripts. So I have been writing. And then, you know, took it from there to Boomerang and all that good stuff. So now it's like, well, we have time now to kind of have time to get back into it, you know, because I was acting so much. It was on set to promo to auditions. And, you know, you're doing so much and you just want to focus and be excellent in what you do. So you don't want to stretch yourself too thin.
Right.
But, you know, now in a time like this, I've re-engaged myself with that old love. And
that's fantastic.
You know, some beautiful things are coming out of it that I hope to produce in the future.
Awesome.
That's good. That's the positives of the of this whole pandemic.
Absolutely.
There's so many. Yeah. We look at all the things that we're upset about and just sitting around and all of the things that have changed our lives, but then those positives.
It's true.
Right.
Slow us down. Mm-hmm. Refocus.
Absolutely.
Speaking of the quarantine, so I know you said you like to work out. I know you you've done the push-ups. Other than, you know, refocusing and being able to write, is there anything else that you're just like the best thing that's happened right now with this pandemic, silly or not, could be anything. Right. I mean, could be I get to eat more ice cream or whatever.
That's true. I mean, I don't have to be as conscious right now of physical appearance. You know, I still remain respectable, you know.
That's okay.
But look, I was like, man, I don't know if they're going to see me today or not, you know what I mean? So I was like, man, I got to go ahead and make sure I cut my hair, but this beard right now is going crazy.
If you didn't have a home haircut, you are not living.
Exactly. Listen, you know what's funny? This is when I realized that I didn't have all the materials I needed to cut my hair. Look, it's funny. Once I got on TV, I was like, all right, Lee, you got to go ahead and start going to a barber. But before that, like for years, I cut my own hair. I used to have my own haircutting business on the side. You know, I wasn't a licensed barber, what have you. But back in college, you know, I was cutting up some heads seriously.
Oh, yeah.
And it's funny, though, because, you know, like I said, I started going to the barber. I've been going to the barber for like the last couple of years. So, you know, I've moved several places or what have you. So some of that stuff that I had got kind of lost. And I was like, well, you know, I can go back to cutting my hair. And then I got my blades out and I started cutting my hair. I started fading myself up. And as I'm fading myself up, I realized you don't have all the guards to bring
What happened to them?
Yeah, right. So now I'm like, man, you know, and Amazon is backed up. So
big time.
Luckily, nobody can see the back of my head right now anyway, because it's looking pretty bad.
It's the little things you overlook.
That's it. That's the truth. Well, we appreciate you so much.
Yes.
Thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you for having me.
We want to make sure we let all the listeners know where we can find you, Boomerang. So it's on BET.
Mm-hmm. Yep. BET. Right. BET. You can still find it on the app. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure they'll still be running reruns and things of that nature. The season finale was last night.
Yes, last night. Wednesday.
Also, Amazon Prime has it.
Philo has it.
YouTube.
Yeah, I saw YouTube was running it. Yeah, there's a couple different places you can get it. I mean, you can definitely find me, Leland B. Martin, my full name on Instagram and Twitter. You want to keep up with me?
Definitely. You know, I'm a Martin too, and there's no. Hey. I keep saying there's no relation, but.
Hey, listen. You know, we all family, though.
We all cousins.
Well, it's my marriage, Leland. Right. So, but I'm gonna just go.
We're going to claim it.
It's all right.
Yeah, we do follow you, so we're looking forward to seeing you in future endeavors.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Be blessed, and we look forward to whatever you got coming out in the future.
Right, for sure. Thank you for speaking with us today.
Yes, be blessed as well.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. This has been an original Pod Clubhouse production. Pod Clubhouse is a podcast network dedicated to encouraging collaboration among podcasters and friends to bring a fresh voice and diverse perspective on a wide array of content. Please visit and leave a comment for us at podclubhouse.com. Rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast feeds on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can find us at Pod Clubhouse. Our DMs are always open, and we'd love to hear from you.
Pod Clubhouse.